God's word is for everyone and anyone who's willing to read it and live by it, as Mike McIntosh explains.
If you pay close attention to the Bible, it is not a religious book that is sacred and holy to people that go to some seminary and they're the only ones that know what it's about. It's not a book that only people with clerical collars or big helmets on or fancy robes or incense or beads or anything. It is a book from cover to cover that deals with people that are in trouble, that are failing, that are hurting, that need help.
And I'll stand up and shout.
God is a very loving God that gave His Word in order that we might know Him and have a relationship with Him. That's what we observe in our studies here on today's edition of CNV with Mike McIntosh. It's amazing some of the things that people quote from the Bible that just aren't there. One I know you've heard is, God helps those who helps themselves. Nothing could be further from the truth. Those who've never read the Bible are missing out on all the wonderful lessons that not only can help you live a better life, but they're missing out on the one who wants to give them eternal life. Our study through the book of Proverbs have shown us the riches of God's love and His desire to give us instructions to live our lives to the fullest. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 24 and listen to Mike McIntosh with part two of his message, Wisdom, Understanding, and Knowledge. Three keys to the Proverbs.
Knowledge says, what are all the great wholesale deals? I want the best, but I want to go at wholesale prices. So you go to all the stores and look at the plumbing fixtures and the carpets and the draperies and the furnishings. And understanding says, okay. And then you get your consultants. Understanding says, I got to think this through and talk it through. And then the furnishings come. So there's three ways to establish through wisdom anything that you're involved in. Wisdom is what the house is built through. So your wisdom says, I got to be praying through this. Understanding establishes the project, and knowledge shall, look how it says it very poetically, by knowledge, verse 4, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So the artwork on the wall, maybe some antique vases and tables, some really cool sofas and great dining room set, some lava lamps, whatever you want. But it's understanding that brings the precious things. Now you take it to your own heart. Wisdom says you've got to get to God. And if you get to God, you're going to make it to heaven. So wisdom says you've got to build a spiritual life. How do you do that? Well, understanding comes along and says, it's a walk by faith and not by sight. If any man hear my word, and he's my disciple, he'll continue my word. So people say they're Christians, but they're not disciples because they never pick up the scripture. So Jesus says, if any man is my disciple, so understanding says, I need to pick up his word. I let him pick up his cross. Okay, there's going to be a burden to this. I'm going to die to myself. Then knowledge comes along and says, wow, what a sweet fragrance. The precious things are in here. I'm making it through trials. I count it all joy when I go through various trials. I have learned to pray always, to give thanks in all things unto God. And now the precious things are a sweet fragrance and sweet aroma in my life. I've used wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you're building a house, establishing a business, raising a family, or just your own spiritual walk, these two verses really lay out a key to you that you may want to study later. Verse 5 and 6 and 7, he goes to a triplet now. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge, you may want to underline, increases strength. It increases, which means you don't stop or you get blessed one time. It's continual. It's progressive. For, this is a fact, he's saying now, establishing about the wise person, by wise counsel you shall make your war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. So here we see the third set of groupings, and he's establishing out three verses now with the same subject from two. And health and strength come to those that have wisdom. Now that's interesting, isn't it? And we mentioned this last week after the wind blew my pages over and I taught you the whole different chapter. But we got ahead of ourselves, and that's very cool. It is interesting that wisdom brings you strength. And you say, I can have more strength. Well, we would have to obviously say spiritual strength, absolutely. If you have God's wisdom, and every one of you have the right to it, he's your father. He's not some tiki god out there or some carved idol. You know, I didn't grow up with a father, so I don't know what it would be like to call a father and say, could I borrow some money, Dad, or could you help me with my books for school? Or so. I didn't have that. Many of you didn't either, but many of you did. And God is sitting there getting your whole attention, and he wants you to have wisdom. James 3:17, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God freely. He'll give it to you. He's not going to reprove you. He'll just say, of course you can have it. So there's none of you that should be shy or timid, nor should you feel inferior. You know, so you get out and you establish your house, you pray, you seek the Lord. A wise person actually increases their strength. So we'll say, yes, absolutely, I increase it by reading my Bible, by praying, by loving people, by helping people, by serving the Lord, by dying to myself, to, you know, whatever I can do to make society better, I gain strength because I'm in him. And Paul said it's in God in whom we move and we have our whole being. He experienced something that is just like encapsulated in God. And that's where I want to be. And I know that's where you want to be. Not just hear about him. No, I just want to feel his presence and know that he's there. And Lord, there's nothing too big or too difficult for you. And the second thing is we'd have to say, could he possibly be saying that some people that are sick could be stronger if they had wisdom? Well, I think so. I don't think it's a cure-all that you're going, oh, bless you, my child. You're reading the Bible, and now you're going to be over your little ailment or your huge ailment that it is. But stop and think of this. Wisdom would say, hey, don't smoke. You know, one cigarette takes 8.5 minutes off of your lifespan. Now, when you're 16 or 22 years old and you got a beer in one hand or a cocktail and you're at a party or a club and you're smoking 4, 5, 6 cigarettes that evening, you're not thinking that 48 minutes of your life is gone. But I have yet found anybody, Christian or non, on the side of the road dying, in a shooting or a stabbing dying, or from cancer or old age, or you name it, in a hospital, ever said, let's speed this process up. Most people would like to get some time back. So wisdom says, you don't want to get drunk and ruin your liver and kidneys. You don't want to be a smoker or a doper and kill your brain cells. You know, but you don't think of that. So wisdom comes along and says, you increase your strength. Yeah, because it says you want to eat a better diet. You want to watch the starches and the sugars. And you want to do this and you want to do that. So wisdom now is like Hebrews where it says it goes to the joints and the marrow of the bone. The word of God is sharp. So it increases your strength. Now the wisdom says about your counselors. If you're going to go to war and you got an enemy coming against you, you don't make war unless you have some counselors. And it's in the multitude of counselors that you find your strength and your safety. So whatever it is, from buying a car, don't ever pay retail for a car. Don't buy all the add-ons. And when you go to stores and they say, do you want the warranty for that? You already have a warranty. I mean, those are the biggest rip-offs. That's where they make their profit on the TVs and stuff. You're going to get a 2-year warranty or 3-year warranty where they're counting the first year that the company already gets you. If you buy at Costco or someplace, they take everything back anyhow. So just use wisdom. Increase your financial strength, you know, that way. And then he takes it, this third step, wisdom is too high for a fool. Can't grasp it, can't get it. So you don't want to say, what's he talking about? Just nod your head like you agree with me. So wisdom is too high for the fool. But the person that wants wisdom, the light bulb comes on. I got it. Oh, I understand. And he opens not his mouth in the gate. Well, what does he mean by that? It's because the gate of the city is where the wise and the city elders would sit and make all the city decisions, government decisions, and family disputes were settled, real estate was sold. Wise men sit in the gates. Wise men make decisions. Fools aren't found there. I'm sorry. that just aren't found there. Would you turn in the New Testament to 3 John? Not the Gospel of John, not 1 John, not 2 John, but 3 John, back by Revelation. Back at the very back of the book, if you knew the Bible. It's a very, very short little, more of a memo than it is a letter, but it is one of the epistles. And 13 little verses along. I just would like you to maybe memorize this. It's been with me for 38 years. I've always enjoyed just the concept of the first chapter there. As look how John writes to the elder, speaking of himself, he's about 90-some years old, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Wow, I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's cool, isn't it? So he knew that wisdom would give you strength. He's loving in truth. He's praying that in all things that you'd be in good health, you'd prosper, just like your spiritual side is prospering. Now go back about 6 books here, short books, 1 Thessalonians. And that's just before 2 Thessalonians and right before 1 and 2 Timothy. But look at Paul carries his theme and his thought that John had in chapter 5, the 23rd verse. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, the 23rd verse. Now, may the God of peace himself, may the God of peace himself sanctify or set you apart completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, will also do it. You are a three-dimensional creature if you're born again. If you're not born again, you're a two-dimensional creature. He says your whole spirit, not a wounded spirit or a half of a spirit or a, you know, a catechism spirit or a Sunday school spirit that you got 40 years ago and Christmas and Easter and amen, something like that is all you remember. But your whole spirit and your body and your soul, he divides you to the three dimensions. So when God created Adam and Eve, they were a spirit. And it was their spirit that met with God every day that he communed in the Garden of Eden. They were a soul, their psyche, their emotions, their personality. They were a body that was made out of the clay of the earth. When they sinned, the spirit died and their body appetites turned over and their body is on top and flesh and blood do not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible says. So their bodies could no longer communicate and their soul didn't communicate, and that's why you have to be born again. That's simple. So that your spirit comes alive, that you can get back in communion with God. So a wise man is strong and a man of knowledge, he increases his strength. And here we realize you're a body, you're a soul, you're a spirit, it should be whole. And God is faithful who's called you, and he's going to do it if you'll give him time in the scripture, and you'll just spend time praying. Now, concerning safety by having wise people around you, he's basically saying before you tackle anything to do with your enemy, seek wise counsel. So you do have some wonderful things going here. And one is that you have friends and counsel, that you surround yourself with them. And the word multitude literally means an abundance. You have an abundance of counselors around you. And God will honor you and God will bless you. Verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Literally, it translates, if you fail in the day of straits or adversity, straight or small is your strength. Now, I can only imagine that many of you are struggling. And I'll be the first one to tell you, you want to run, you want to surrender, you want to give up, you want to do, you don't even know what to do, but you just stay in there by the hair of your chinny chin chin. And you hold on to the hem of his garment and say, okay, I haven't got much energy, Lord, but help me out here, come on. In the Living Bible, it paraphrased it this way, and I think this is very cool. You are a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. See? You've got a wimp for a pastor, I'll tell you that. But if we faint in the day of adversity, boy, our strength is small. So God is going to bring adversity our way. If you pay close attention, I've been reading Chuck Swindoll's book on Joseph. Again, I've been through it many times before, but at night this is what I'm reading next to the bedstand. And I've been studying Joseph on my own in Job for the last year, and it dawned on me, just dawned on me this week when I came to this verse several times. If you pay close attention to the Bible, it is not a religious book that is sacred and holy to people that go to some seminary and they're the only ones that know what it's about. It's not a book that only people with clerical collars or big helmets on or fancy robes or incense or beads or anything. It is a book from cover to cover that deals with people that are in trouble, that are failing, that are hurting, that need help. Does that make sense to any of you? That's all it is. It's a book about people, and after 38 years of studying this book, it dawned on me this week. That is so simple, that God is so gracious and loving, that He doesn't make it some, oh, holier than thou, that you've got so many degrees. No, it's for you and me, common everyday people that are struggling, and it's full of common everyday people that God helped in the midst of their adversity. I love it. When we think of the prophets and we think of the apostles and we think of the Elijahs and the Elishas, we think of woo and the Noahs and, you know, the Ezekiels, and they're just everyday people that responded to God's call. And they all had problems and none were perfect. And that's what this book is for. That's all right. I love it when my family comes and they applaud at those points. Thank you. Does that help you at all?
Yes.
That's what it is. It's not a mystery. You can read through there and say, I've gone through what she's going through. I understand. Now you get to Deborah and she puts a tent peg through a guy's head. I don't identify with that, but that was one woman that was knocking him dead. That's for sure. So if you pay close attention, you see that page to page, it's about human suffering and adversity and family problems and life's issues. And I believe this is because sin has entered into the world and it's killing mankind. And God knew that you and I would need encouragement to go forward when adversity and pain and setbacks come, so we can make it till tomorrow. If we can make it through tonight, wake up tomorrow, we can make it that tomorrow night and make it the next day. So don't let this black cover, small print book scare you as if it's something that you can't understand. And you think of this in closing, just turn to Genesis chapter 3. And it was our first hint from the very, very beginning, the 16th verse. Not John 3:16, but Genesis 3:16. That God makes it so clear. And now you can pick up your Bible every day and say, Lord, could you speak to me? Could I learn something here that not only will help me, but I could pass on to help other people? Look what he said, verse 16, Genesis 3. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you're going to bring forth babies, your children. And your desire, it's normal, is to be towards your husband. Not to somebody else's husband or another woman, toward your husband. That's the natural desire. And he shall rule over you. The husband will be the head of the household, says in Ephesians 5. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Because of this error, this sin, cursed is the ground for your sake. And in sorrow, there's the word again, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you'll eat bread, until you return back to the dirt, to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. It doesn't say from ashes to ashes and dust to dust, just from dust to dust, because you weren't made out of ashes and going back. You were made out of dust. So from the very beginning, it's so obvious. It's simple. It's every day you and me going to work, getting along with people, trying to buy a car, get insurance, go to the birthday parties, see our family, somebody in the family's getting divorced, somebody stabbed you in the back, something happened, you lost your job. That's what it's about. In sorrow, thorns and thistles everywhere. So we don't want to faint in the day of adversity, do we? Because we know that God has given us the key to living, And if we just trust Him through His Word, it's all going to work out. Father, we thank You so much for Your sweet Word that is like honey. We thank You that it just drips off of Your throne for anybody that would come up and eat of it. That You say You hold Your Word above Your name. And so we thank You for sharing with us. This is an easy book if we let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. This is a book of relationship. This is not a deep thing that we need to parse out and split. It's stories about people. People that suffer and sweat and work every day to get a paycheck and try to make that paycheck and that second job balance. So I pray for all of my brothers and sisters that are in this auditorium. May You honor them for their hunger and thirst for righteousness. I pray for all of our friends that are watching on the internet right now. I pray for the Upper Room Fellowship in that garage of that upper room that meets every week to join us in Texas, that this is their church service. I pray You'll bless those men and women and honor them. But may You bless our friends in Iraq and Afghanistan that watch on the internet. God, may You blast us with the Holy Spirit right now. May You fill us overflowing with so much love from the Spirit that dying to ourselves will become easy and almost an honest necessity for us to not even want to be like we used to be. May You open the eyes of all of us, Lord, to see the end is right in front of us, and You're asking us to exit a physical world that is dying and step into a kingdom that is at hand. So, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ask, O God, that You would use us for Your honor and glory. I pray that You'd meet every need that anybody in this room has. I pray, Father, that You will challenge the teenagers to be righteous and holy and to give themselves to purity. And Lord, may You give us great wisdom in the safety of counsel from other people. And Father, may You just know that we all say to You, we love You. We thank You, all of us, Lord, for loving us. We just know for certainty we don't deserve to be loved. We don't deserve to be forgiven of our sins or our trespasses. And yet, with all the frivolity and all the mistakes, the plotting of havoc and devastation that we did against our own bodies and our own souls, let alone other people that we've hurt, You still love us and forgive us. And we pray, our Father in heaven, forgive us this day our debts as we turn now and forgive those that are indebted to us that have hurt us. May You bless these men and women. May You pour out without measure the Holy Ghost on Horizon Christian Fellowship. May You raise up prayer warriors. May You raise up evangelists and teachers and pastors and people with the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of healing and working of miracles, the gift of government and rule and administration. Lord, may You raise up these people and challenge them in these last hours of mankind's history to stand in the gap for this country. Oh God, have mercy and turn our country towards You as it is collapsing before our eyes, and give us a heart to fall in love with the Bible and to fall in love with prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Are you facing difficult decisions that require obedience and sacrifice? Are the challenges of life leading you in a direction that's distant from God? Then you'll want to apply the principles you've heard today on this edition of Chapter and Verse Radio. Remember, our choices do make a difference. Consistently choosing to follow God in the small things of life lays a foundation for this habit when larger issues are confronted. We'll continue these important teachings from the Book of Proverbs on our next broadcast. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Proverbs, but nearly an entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. And while you're online, be sure to sign up for the United States Prayer Force. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station, thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time on CNV when we'll continue our survey of the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.